all right tonight. You know, really, I'm good to be here. Don't let this thing scare you. Just I'm going to say something about some books. I think my outline consists of this much, four lines. One of them is make sure to thank Brother Keith about his, what he has done for us and visiting us in Phoenix. And good to see him. Good to see everybody here. I'd like to mention that we are printing the books of the message of Brother Branham. And it's a great responsibility. And I don't know how I got into it, but I'm in it. You know, you start something, you do it a little bit, and then you get in it so deep that you don't know how to get out. And the only thing you do, try to swim yourself out, and you still can't get out of it. But we start printing the books of Brother Branham. It's in hardbound or paperbacks. Our system is a little different than has been printed before. We have completed approximately 24 volumes of these books. There is over, I would say, a year from 62 to 65, and also the church ages. And the arrangement of these books is chronological. If you talk about volume 62, that means that it was preached in a year of 62. So the year is the volume. And then it's sequentially arranged from, this is, for example, volume 63, 41 to 51. That means all these sermons were preached in 1963, and that was the 41st, from the 41st to the 51st sermon that was preached. So when they stay on the shelf, these sermons, they are chronologically because the volume sets them within the year and then the number with the sequence that was preached. And inside, of course, you have the on the top the running title. I better don't get into technical words. The title of the sermon. And then you have the volume number 63, 43. You have the paragraphs. And next to the paragraph, what you have is the scripture that Brother Branham refers to, or he's indicating by when he's speaking. Each year has its own color. This is green for 63. This is maroon for 64. So no matter how you're going to mix the sermons together, you can sort them by color and then set them on the shelf. So you have the complete message sitting there. We are working on the hardbound volumes, and the reason that I bring these things up, Brother Searle will be handling our books for here, New Zealand, Australia, the Far East area. And it's a privilege to be able to have somebody helping us, because people sometimes think that I have a big empire. I don't. I'm just surviving. And sometimes I'm so slow, like everybody else. Finances are so tight that you don't know where to go, you know. But we have very few people, volunteers, dedicated. One of the sisters that just went to be with the Lord, she has an oxygen mask, and her lungs were only 20% good. And she was 24 hours with an oxygen mask working for us. One of the top newspapers, ladies. In the message, we have a sister working now that she had cancer of the colon, and her intestines stay on the side while she works 14 hours a day for it. So this book's going through sacrifice and blood, really, you know, to come out. These are the people that you're going to see on the other side as the hidden ones. So with the hardbound books, we put also the paperbound copies, and it tells you the volume. This is volume 64-9, and you see it's a maroon color, the printing, so much with the 64 hardbound. So you can go to individual sermons or hardbound books. We haven't put any book under 520 pages, so try to maintain a logical thickness of the book to be able to be handled well. Then on the book that you see here, there's a little mark that you see. Some people call it a printer's mark. But it's a mark that you can sort your books after you study. You might have 50 books. You can sort them by color. This is 64, the maroon is 62, the 63 is the green, the 65 is the blue. And in the back, you have a little, this mark, you see that. And you set them in sequence, the mark should be all the way coming down, and the books are in sequence chronologically, like that. So if you look for a book, for the book number 47, you'll be able to find 47. And also the way that lay on the shelves, the volume number and the book number is not in the middle or the bottom. And by flipping right on the top, you'll be able to see exactly what I have to put in them in and out, going back and forth. With the books that we're working on concordances, scripture, and subject. And before I left, I ran a quick copy of the volume 62 and volume, this is all 62, the scriptures of all 62, and this is from Genesis to Revelation. And what you have here, you have starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you have, for example, Genesis 1-2, Brother Bram speaks about that on volume 62, book number 17, paragraph 41. The title of the sermon is The Greatest Battle Was Ever Fought, Jeffersonville, Indiana. It was preached 3-11-62, the tape number is 1762. So you can go through the scriptures and you see what Brother Branham said about that specific verse. Now, this is only 1 year. So you imagine what it's going to involve when we finish this job. People ask me sometimes, why don't you put it out? You see, they don't know what it means to work 20 hours a day. They don't know. The thing that, somebody speaks from the ceiling and these things drop down, you know? And it's not like that. It's work. And then corrections and everything. But the Lord's willing will be a scripture concordance that will indicate you can, if you have a question about a scripture, you'll be able to go here, might be Matthew 24:10 or whatever it is, and give you all the references. And we're going to put a concordance from 60 to 65 and then a supplement before 65. After this point, we have finished the work. It's ready to be printed. It's held back sometimes because of finances, but we're working at the concordance at the same time with the scriptures, and we're down to close to 60, so we're working the concordance to try to produce it. The next part is here, we're working on the subject concordance. And this subject concordance, for example, Caesar's, you know, it says give things that belong, means to Caesar, right? So then you get volume 64, book number 70, paragraph 84, questions and answers number 3, tape number 7064. You can go and pull the book and see what Brother Brown said about that subject. And this is only the letter C for 2 years. And people don't realize, I picked up my desk there, it's just a mess, Brother Searle sees it. I mean, by the time I get up in the morning, everybody throws a paper there. I keep on throwing papers, you know. And I measure, the one time the thickness of the work that I had was 3.5 feet high of the work that I had to go through. So we will put the concordance out to match the work that we're doing. So I hope that I feel pretty confident around Brother Searle and the people here, the work that they have done through the years. And I'm not saying this for flattering because I'm not this kind of a person. But I feel that I want to decentralize myself. I want to give responsibilities to others, and I'm not asking how they operate, but there are some guidelines. This thing costs us money. He cannot give them free. You see what I'm saying? And I believe for a book like that, if a person pays $1.50, $1.25, it's worth having it, isn't it? And the most important part, we're maintaining an inventory of every book on single paper and hardbound. This is a tremendous expense. This is out of print, for example. You cannot print under 1,500 books. So you have a request of four, and you print 1,500. Who's paying for the rest of it to maintain an inventory? People don't understand these things, but that's a big headache, you know. But I'm hoping that someday I'll be able to put a service to the people that the people will have something that if they study something, doctrine is coming around and so on, they'll be able to go through to see what Brother Ben. At least we try to make the books available. I think I'll leave this with Brother Howard somewhere there so that if you want to see what we are doing, like I said, this is the letter C here for 2 years only. So you can imagine what's going through. Now you say, how many hundreds of people you have working? My wife, a young lady, about 22, and I have about a handful of volunteers. That's a lot of work. It's, you know, and to try to produce an accurate copy and go through. And our punctuators are people of the message, though the criteria of the punctuate, everything is done by listening the tape. If you knew it, and we follow Oxford University punctuation, can imagine now merging Oxford with Brother Brown's vocabulary. But the thing is, I believe we have the best message. That's what God gave us. And I put it as a priority. And it's a big sacrifice. Brother Searle knows running his office. It's just everything presses you, then you got to pay a bill and you have $30 balance in your account. You've got problems, you know. But if you know punctuation and you read this book, it should be able to sound phonetically the same like the tape. You know, that's the criteria that we follow. So it's plenty of work, and these books will be made available to the people, and it's also subscription. Now the next book that will come out for New Zealand, Australia, and so on will be handled through Brother Searle's office, and the first thing we do when we get the books will be mailing to Brother Searle, and then Brother Searle will be mailing out. And we'll work very close together to try to make these books available to the people. And I have confidence in the brothers, I just feel good. I'm not bothered about these things. You know, if I feel good and I feel the Lord's will, I do it, and I don't have any reservations. I said, it's your job, do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not there to run it or anything like that. So pray for us because we do these things, this work now, and I know, or subscription automatically, if you subscribe to this book, when the new book comes out, automatically it will be sent to you. It will be sent probably as a hardbound or paperbacks. There might be about 10 to 15 paperbacks. It depends from the thickness of the paperback. Some sermons have 70 pages, others have 40. But the criteria, we shouldn't put any books under 520 pages. So that's how this works. So don't worry, little boy. I'll put them underneath, okay? Brother Searle, I just request your prayer so the Lord will just help us. There's a little I'll be giving to Brother Howard, some copies, and also this kind of a thing. It tells you what each volume consists of, and also the title of the sermons. And you know, sometimes people want an individual sermon, and they can't get it nowhere. So what happened? They write to us, and we make it available to them. We say that's what it costs, $1.25, and we pay the postage, and the thing goes. So remember, remember us in prayer for the work. And something additional that we try to do, we have been a little bit slow, and Brother Keith knows about some of these problems. We are developing a database. We're going to dump all Brother Branham's sermons into a database. And in that database, we'll have the concordance in it, scripture, subject, King James Version, and history. And in a split screen, you'll be able to look at the concordance and say, that's what I want, and display the portion of what Brother Branham preached, the equivalent King James Version, so you can see in the screen exactly the whole concept there of the message, you know. So when we establish the database in the States, then we are working together to get the data here to New Zealand for Brother Searle, so he will be operating from here. And you know, this is kind of dangerous things, and because some people would like to pull out a doctor and create a mess, so we have to balance it somewhere. And there are other services that we'll provide. Like if you write to me and you say, when we get into it, you say, Brother David, I need everything that Brother Branham preached about on foot washing in relation to communion. So we scan through and give you probably 3-4 quotes per area that he spoke about it. It might be 100 pages, might be 10, might be 50, might be whatever it is, and we charge you 5 cents a page to run it through. So this way you can go through the subject and study. And if you're a pastor, you want to cover a subject, you know, you can get this and make copies locally or pass it around, a couple of copies for the people to read, and then you get into the study. I think that's a good way to do it, isn't it? You know, just because sometimes, you know, we don't have the whole study around us to know what we're doing. And when the first time I put the concordance out, a couple of brothers came to me and they said to me, We want to put a concordance out. We have a ministers meeting in Jeff where 120 ministers are going to get together, talk about it. He said, why don't you come? I said, I don't go. Because, you know, I love ministers and I work with them. But sometimes, you know, if you're not, it's not your area, you can kill something that's good. You know, and I know this to stay out of committees because I worked for the state too long. If you have some good idea, you just take it to the committee. They will do a good job to butcher it up anyway. So, but the concordance eventually was not maintained and so on. So I had to take the job into my hands and just try to push it and get it through. But it's lots of testing and lots of difficulties. And I'm praying so the Lord will just help each one of us and the books will become a blessing. So the New Zealanders here, they will have probably in probably Singapore and in Australia will have a quick access to this area without having to wait from us. And after all, I believe in decentralizing things. Am I right? You know, decentralize it and let the people run it because they can come up with ideas that I never knew that and improve it. So anytime you improve something, you're doing good, I believe, you know. So that's what I believe. I mentioned to some people that I have been running for some tapes on Revelation 10:7. And the tapes, I have done 4 of them, and they will be released probably after the convention. So you're welcome to listen to them. They are very thorough, very detailed, and there's more to go. So I'm touching some very touchy doctrines, and I hope you understand they should be touched. And the criteria is you shouldn't have seen a contradiction through the Scriptures. Am I right? That's a good criteria. So this study takes time, you know, because it's not something that you stay one day or 2 days. You take lots of material and then you simplify it. You have just a little boy right in the front of you, and you make sure that he understands. That's the criteria that will go by. So remember that. This afternoon, a young lady said to me, she says, you know, don't forget, you're going to speak about direction. I said, okay, I'll carry on. So I'm going to speak a little bit about, probably tonight we might do doctoring a little bit, you know, doctoring, because you should do doctoring. I enjoy talking about Jesus, his doctoring. I enjoy that, you know. It's so simple, so beautiful to know that Christ has done so much for me. You know, if I knew that the rapture was in 10 minutes, I would say I wouldn't have to say anything more what I said this morning. Because that's your answer. Am I right? That's your answer. Run into it. You know, Christ, Jesus and Him crucified, be dead with Christ and get ready for the rapture. But, you know, memorizing doesn't take you. By knowing all the mysteries doesn't take you. By being one with Christ. And after all, the Holy Ghost is the engagement that we have with Christ. I went to the cafeteria, the dining room area this noon after the service, and I see with a bunch of young people, and we were talking about things, and they are life, and I like to be around them because they wake me up, you see. So a young lady sitting next to me said, you want some cake some ice cream, I'll go and get it. I look at her and I say, hey, you're too young to give me a runaround. So I said, why don't you get it? You want the half of it anyway. Oh, she said, well, she got red in her face. She went over and got me. So I gave her half of it, dumped it to her plate. By the time I turned this way, she already finished it. So their life, you know, their life. I'm so thankful to the Lord. I love everybody here. So we'll do a little doctoring tonight. Do you have your Bible with you? Get your Bible. We're going to take a verse and look at it close. And we believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. Am I right? See, people say sometimes, Brother David, yeah, we got the message. The message has to come to the Scriptures. You know that? Do you know that? Listen to one portion of what Brother Branham said. To me, everything that operates, I read that before, must come out of the Bible, or it's not right. It's not to be, if it's to be proven in the Bible, not just to one place, but it has to come all the way through the Bible. It must dovetail with every scripture, or I don't believe it. Amen. That's good criteria, isn't it? Yes, you know? And friends, if we have the truth and set you free, you don't ever have to be afraid to speak about the truth. So often, studying the Word of God, and I'm going to make it very simple, a touchy area this night, we get an idea sometimes, and then what happens, we try to look for materials to support the idea. But that doesn't work like that. You know? You just wait on the Lord. You know so many things that I study for years. I spend thousands of hours. And I leave them alone. And all of a sudden, you know, God takes it, bang, bang, here it is, here it is, here it is. Like this morning, you know, the high priest. You never realize that this high priest tore his garments because it belongs to Jesus. And Jesus takes now with his own blood, goes to Calvary. Am I right? Amen. You know, it's so simple. But you don't analyze it. You can sit there and look at it 10 years unless God reveals it to you. So the thing is, make up your mind that it's not that it's going to be revealed to you because you're studying it, but probably He will never reveal it to you, probably reveal it to you 10 years from now or 10 days from now. And after all, after God reveals your verse, remember this, you go back 2 years later and you look at it and you get more out of it. Do you know why? It's eternal life. That word is eternal. You cannot exhaust it. It's there all the time. So when you see there, it reminds me, freshman students used to, I didn't deal with them, I'm talking about the graduate level, and they come there, first of all, this is a research paper, so I just hand them, you know, an outline. First of all, you know, the hypothesis, the statement of the problem, conclusion. And you know, they make up their mind to do research. And you know what I graded the highest? The ones that say it cannot be done. Because they have an open mind, right? They say, I did the work, it doesn't work. So I said, if you have this kind of a judgment, you go on somewhere in life. Because we cannot accept the positive without looking at the negative. You know, we try to prove something and needle something. You know, you can push so far instead of then backfires at you. And you look at it and you are in a mess and you don't know what to do. So what are we going to do? We're going to study in the book of Revelation 10:7. How do you like that? How do you like that? Everybody says now what he's going to get into. But I'm looking at the little boy right here. Now, this verse, let's read it first. Let's bow our heads first in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. Help us, Lord, when we see this verse and study it. When we leave from here tonight, there will be no question in our minds. Because you are the great Jehovah. Lord, you wrote it for us. Help us, Lord, to have a simple mind to understand it. By the revelation of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. It says here, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he have declared to his servants the prophets. That's a verse that has been used in many tapes. Am I right? And sometimes you see it commercialized. You see them in cowboy hats in the States, belt buckles. Revelation 10:7, you know. And you go on with it and you look at this and you say, what does it mean? You ask the person. He says, the prophet said it. You know. But you know, if this is for me, God provides a way for me to know something about it. You know, if it's not for me, I'm not going to force myself to it. We got to realize that revelation is not given to you because you're nice looking or because you decided so, but because it's the plan of God. Am I right? And it doesn't mean because I don't have the revelation right here, I'm going to miss the rapture either. People think that if I don't know this, I'm going to miss it and run around. I remember a couple of young men, somebody had a revelation of the rapture is going to come in September. They drove the car so fast, they hit a street cleaner. They took them to the hospital. They had a flight to get out of from the bed, band-aids and everything, right to the airport. Here they go to make the rapture. You know what I'll do? I'll stay home. I says, Jesus, I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Right? Because God is not going to pick up the ones in the United States and leave the ones here. It's a universal rapture. Am I right?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to run. He says, I'll make sure I make it. But it's God in you that gives you that confidence. And now here, Brother Branham constantly referred to that verse. And he paralleled that verse with Revelation 3:14, which is the Laodicean church age, and also Malachi 4:6. But when you look at this verse, the first thing says, but in the days of the voice. You say, just a minute, in the days of the voice. What is this day? The day of the voice, a day is a period of time. Am I right? You know, the days of great Alexander, the days of Mussolini, the days of this, the days of that. It's a period of time. And remember, it bases it in the days of the voice, not in the days of the life. That's kind of strange. Because remember, if you are basing the days of the life of the seventh angel, then when Brother Branham died, the whole thing finishes. But he based in the days of the voice, and the voice still echo right now, and we have it on tape, and we listen. The Word of God is perfect, isn't it? But, you know, we're just climbing the wall sometimes. Just leave it as it is and read it and everything is going to be okay.
Amen.
So he says, in the days of the voice, he doesn't say the voices. We have too many people who says, the man will follow me. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's one voice.
Right.
And seven is not six and a half and eight and a half. Seventh angel. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All right, little boy? Seven angel. Not voices, but a voice, right? So now this voice, still today, we can hear it. And we say now this voice is speaking. What does it really say? And here he says, when he shall begin to sound. And I will be following my little Greek Bible. He says, now when it will be trumpeting. With other words, it will give a certain sound. I'm declaring a message. The seventh angel is declaring a message. So you look at the message and you say, what is the message? Is it something that he's going to see a vision and that's what he's going to tell me? Is it something that he's going to do this, he's going to do that? But remember, the seventh angel cannot break that verse, because if he breaks it, then he's not the seventh angel. Because the Word of God controls it. Am I right?
Yes.
There it is. And that verse here says this. He says, the mystery of God should be finished. I'll go back to it. As he have declared it to his servants, the prophets. Plural tense. So what that servant angel is going to do, he's going to finish a mystery that was declared by the servants, the prophets. He got to stay with the Word. How do you like that? So now, I'm expecting to see a man, but he's going to finish a mystery. And I says, what is that mystery? The mystery is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I said, now, let's see what is going to be the mystery. Is he going to somebody to come around with a white gown? He says, now, I got a vision of that mystery. I'm going to tell you from right now, I see something up there in the sky that looks like an arrow or something and did this and did that. No. He cannot do that. He has to go as it was declared to the prophets. So you got to stay with this.
Hallelujah.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Because the people is, what's new? What's new? It was there, but it was hid, the mystery, through the ages, and God is revealing it.
Amen.
But the people want to see always something new. It's like Las Vegas. Who's singing today? What's the show? The people go there frustrated. They laugh and they pick their pockets. They go with the car, they go, $20,000 car, they go back home with $150,000 Greyhound. That's how it works. But he says here that in the days of the voice, so there's a period of time when that will be sarpizo, who means trumpeting, phonetically I will be able to hear it. Friends. Phonetically, sarpizo means sarpix is the trumpet. I don't know if you were in the service. I was in the Air Force during the Korean War, and they're starting in the morning. Ta da da, pa pa pa, get you up, eat, get going. Time to get up. Certain sound. Am I right?
Amen.
So now today, phonetically, I can hear the tapes. Correct.
Amen.
Here's the message I can hear. He says, "Thus say the Lord." He says, Jehovah Jireh, I can hear these things. And the strange thing happened, the audio was never really developed until 45, 46, that we had the old wire recorders, and everything was prepared, right, the technology, the time, that the prophet comes to fulfill that, to start trumpeting and give a message that you can hear it today. Because the scripture says that there will be a time that you will be trumpeting that message. It will never be based in the life of that prophet, but in the days of that voice.
Amen.
How beautiful it is, am I right?
Yes.
So you play a tape today. He says, when Brother Branham died, the message still is alive today. Correct? What about the scripture that said, but in the days of the life of the seventh angel drops dead, it's finished. Correct? But now you see the days of the voice. So the voice is still echoing. You people here send tapes all over the world. Am I right? What is it? The echoing of that voice. So it goes out. All over, right? So now keep on looking here. He says, now, look, David Mamelis. He says, in this period of time of the voice, of what? Of the seventh angel. And Brother Brown takes that seventh angel. He's the same angel of the Laodicean church age and Malachi 4.
Amen.
Now, it's not the eighth. It's not the sixth. It's not the ninth. It says seven, means seven.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's just what it says. So I'm looking here. It says the seventh angel. He says, when he will begin to sound, without a word, when he will be trumpeting, the mystery of God should be finished. And that word finished comes from the word ektelo, who means will come to its end from being a mystery. Remember, Paul says the mystery is revealed now into us and comes in its fullness all the way down. What is it? The Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory? Am I right? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Abraham comes and says, now, he has done this to the Samaritan, to this, but not to the Gentiles. He says, here it is right now, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Don't commercialize, just leave it as it is. And you don't have any problem. So, what I'm expecting before that I was looking this, and if it was written in Chinese or something, I don't understand it. A mystery is something that human intelligence, human reasoning, cannot figure it out. It needs God to tell you what it is.
Amen.
Correct? So now that mystery that I'm seeing, all of a sudden, it's time that it's not a mystery anymore. And I'm saying, the mystery should come in its end. But he didn't say it will be fulfilled either yet. People, because they think sometimes it's not a mystery anymore. Praise God, it's already done. It's finished. Ready to go. Just wait a minute. Revelation 17 says, mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and so on. He says, I will make her desolate and burn her with fire. You got a revelation of who is the mother harlot? Has she been burned yet or not? See, sometimes we wrap boxes and throw them out. Sometimes you wrap the baby and throw the baby with the boxes. You know what I mean? A man wanted milk, was drinking milk, the cow was there. He killed the cow. He went over to find milk. He killed the cow. So we do a lot of things like that, that God's Word never told us that it's so. So we better stick to the Word. God says this, and that's what it is, and that's how it takes place.
Amen.
So now he tells me this, the mystery of God should come to an end as he have declared it to his slaves instead of servants, the prophets. That was declared, it was evangelized. In other words, the good news was given to his servants, the prophets. So now, I'm scratching my head. I says, here's the first man that comes around. He says, I'm the seventh angel. Oh, you are? Yeah. He comes with a gray robe, big hat, big belt. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Okay, I look at this fellow and I said, keep on speaking. The only way to know if he's the seventh angel, what he's going to say, if he's saying what was declared by the servants of the prophets. Am I right? That's my criteria. So I'm not going to say, hallelujah, I got it. You know, too many times you fall into pink shoes and green socks evangelist type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to the Word of God. That's the criteria, friends. I have seen too much. So now it tells me that seventh angel, the seventh messenger, when he'll become, what he's going to do, he's going to finish that mystery as it was declared by his slaves, the prophets, plural tense. So Brother Branham says, I preach every word that Paul preached. Did he say that or not? Why? As it was declared. One and one makes two. It doesn't make four, but it complicated things. We have a calculator, put two and two and press all buttons together to see what you're going to do. Stop that. Just one and one equals two. That's what you should know. So I'm looking at a scripture, and to be honest with you, I don't see any contradiction between the scriptures and the Bible. If I did, then I will be violating Revelation 10:7. I have to stay in the corner and say, I don't know about that. I better wait. And you know, people see lots of visions, do this and the Lord told me that. To me, I don't see anything. You know how I learn? The Lord kicks me around. And the more harder the kick, the more I don't know what to do until he kicks me and I don't have a choice, then I do it. That's the people say to me, how do you know the will of God? That's why the Lord works with me. Sometimes he kicks me. You know, but a man one time said to me, God, thus saith the Lord. And when the people tell me that, unless it's a prophet, you know, I run away from these people. You know what I'm saying? Prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah wait years and years before they say, thus saith the Lord. And some people have, thus saith the Lord, every second. I run away from these people. So now he says here, David Mamelis, when that seventh angel comes, never base it on his life, but in the voice of his days. So the prophet died in 65. The message lives today. Am I right? You know? And we keep on going. And he says, now, the only way to know that mystery, he says, you better make sure that it was as it was evangelized to his slaves, the prophets. So what this man is going to do, he's going to agree with what the prophets had to say. You know, we have done a lot of harm to the message by opening our mouths sometimes.
what some people believe it is a cult. But I don't believe it is a cult because I see it in the Bible. You know, I hope sometimes we just, instead of going outside to witness somebody, the first thing they do, they give them, so that I'm in prison. That person is not even saved yet. Doesn't even know what a soul is. But we just hit him on the head on deep revelations. You see, Paul says, I give them milk, I give them meat, right? You know, it's milk. You know, and wait for God to reveal it. Sometimes a man says, my wife doesn't get the revelation, I'm going to leave her. I mean, you cannot give her the revelation. God has to give her the revelation. Quit beating her on the head. You know, we are brutal sometimes. So I'm looking here, and he says to me now, that is the seventh angel. I said, the seventh angel? Yeah, Laodicea, Malachi 4. And I know my time is running, but I would like to put the two together if I can now. In Malachi 4, it tells me this, that if you go to Malachi 4, by the way, that you look at your Bible, it's the last chapter of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, call the Gideons. They didn't get to that, some of them. So now in the fourth chapter, the last verse, he says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But the previous verse says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great dreadful day of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So the scripture says that Elijah is going to come in the last days. So then I go to the New Testament. Then I said, now, about that Elijah that we are talking about, here the disciples asked Jesus, and they said to him, we thought that Elijah must be here, must come first. And you know what Jesus said? That's true. Who is that? John the Baptist. But I got some problems right here that I'm going to discuss right now. Going through the message, you find out that the first Elijah, John the Baptist, will take the heart of the fathers and turn them to the children. And the second Elijah, William Branham, will take the heart of the children and bring them to the fathers. But here it says, and he didn't say them. And there are two. What about that? The Bible says so. You know, got to face everything. Am I right? To be accurate. But remember, they asked John the Baptist, John, are you that Elijah? He says, no. He wasn't. He was John the Baptist. Right? And after all, it wasn't John the Baptist, neither William Branham, was the spirit of Elijah upon these two. So you don't confuse the issue. So he stands correct. Because that was the spirit of Elijah upon these two men now. Some keep on looking now. What's happening here? There's something going on between the first and the second fellow. The first one is John the Baptist, and the second one is Elijah the prophet. And I start looking in my Bible, and I said, now, what's going to happen? He said, before that great day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts, and I start studying that word that will turn the hearts. And instead of turn the hearts or turn the heart, is apokatastimi, who means will turn them to one common place. So I see these two fellows, John the Baptist, William Branham. They have a message, and they have to bring their message to one focal point. Did you know that? One focal point. And just, my friend, remember, he didn't say, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. No turn and turn. There's no turn and turn there. It's one turn. One point. One focal area. One focal point. So let's say the point is right here, this chair. And I'm keep on looking at the chair, and I'm saying, now, let me see what the first Elijah is going to do. And then I said, if I have these two men here, one John the Baptist, and the other one is William Branham, and they're supposed to have the spirit of Elijah, in order to know what they are going to do, I better go back to Elijah to see where he was. Am I right? Elijah was playing the piano. If that next Elijah doesn't play the piano, I said, you're not the one. Get out of here. Right?
Right?
If the spirit of Beethoven was there, you have to play like Beethoven does. So I'm forced to go back there. And I says, let me, for a minute, by the way, we'll finish the second line, boys. Don't worry. Now, in order for me to know what's going on, I go now to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And all of a sudden, this was the mess with Jezebel and the condition that Elijah found them. Astoreth was worshipped, the goddess Astoreth, and Baal and Astoreth is the equal rights woman that started, and she was born as a man, then changed to a woman to breach the equal rights and so on. And Elijah found himself in that kind of a mess like we are. And we know that on the 18th chapter there, Elijah stopped praying. He says, now, and Elijah, what did he do? He says, come to the people here, and the first thing that he did on the 30th verse, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And the prophet says, go to Calvary. Did he? He says, forget that stuff that you put your name on the book and you belong here, you belong there. He says, you better belong to Christ.
Amen.
He started giving the revelation of Jesus Christ. Am I right? And that Elijah stood there and he says, and he took the stones and built the altar in the name of the Lord. He got a revelation of the name of the Lord. He wasn't a Trinitarian, not names of the Lord, but name in singular tense. All these things there in the scriptures. And Elijah set the fire and the people says, boy, he put the water up and he says, the more water, he says, the bigger the miracle. No, no. Elijah was washing the sacrifice to obey the Levitical law, Leviticus 1. The other boys, they belonged to Baal, they just threw the meat together. They didn't wash it or nothing. But Elijah had to follow the word. Am I right? He had to wash that sacrifice. And now Elijah, everything, the fire was getting ready. And the 37th verse, Elijah cries, says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. He's playing the piano. What is the sound? Turn the heart. Where do you want the heart to go to? One focal point, you guys, both of you are going to do it. John the Baptist and William Branham. Beautiful, the Word of God, isn't it?
Amen.
The Word of God is perfect. Let me tell you this. But we do too many coffee shop business instead of studying the Word and praying. We fellowship together and around coffee instead of the Word of God too much. And now Elijah says, Lord, turn their hearts. The word epistrepho. And I have one focal point here from the word apokatistimi. So both of them have to return to one focal point. So I look at John the Baptist coming out. He was Mr. Nothing. But Jesus is the greatest man that was born out of a woman. He performed not even one miracle. Do you know that? His congregation was kneel. He was at the basement subjected to Herodias. And Herod was an equal rights guy. He said, I'll give you the 50 of my kingdom. That's the condition. They cut his head. Am I right? But what did John the Baptist said? Let me tell you, John the Baptist, what he was saying there. He said, if you go to Luke 3:16, he says, don't look at me. Let's read it because it's an important verse. Luke 3:16. He says, John answered, saying unto them, all I indeed baptize you with water. But he says, one that's going to come, I'm not even worth to latch his shoes. And he says, he will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. John the Baptist are pointing to the Holy Ghost. Am I right? He tells them, listen, he says, when he will come, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And William Branham, he says, go back to the Pentecostal fathers. One focal point, Pentecost. I just love the Word of God. It's rich. It's good. The people today say, what you got new? What's happening? Somebody comes, praise God, let's go this way. You fall in the ditch and you don't even know it. Did you ever check if it goes to the Pentecostal fathers or not? Why? Because salvation at Calvary, when that blood of Jesus Christ forgave your sins, and when He sent back His Spirit in you, what did He do with that? He sealed you. What was that sealing? Your engagement with Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. What are you looking for? What are you running into? I'll say something. Blame me for that. There's a market of people that they don't know which direction they go. And this is the majority of the people all over the world. Anything you want to give them, give them. They'll eat it. It's a bunch of birds sitting in a nest. Tap the nest. They eat it. That's what it is. And you know what? They are in the message, but they have not been saved, and they cannot go to Pentecost, so anything you give them, they're going to eat it. I have never finished with Calvary. I'm dying daily. And I have never finished with Pentecost. What we're doing. Where are we going? Is there any contradiction in the Word? Absolutely not. Amen. I haven't seen the message contradict what I'm saying at all. I can take you through. In these 3-4 tapes that we got, you go through Revelation 10:7. I give you the quotes of Brother Ram. It's his voice there, recording and everything. What the people are looking, I don't know. But this focal point here, John the Baptist comes around. He says, don't look at me, I'm nothing. What did he say? Look at Jesus. He says, and what do you do looking at Jesus? The height? The weight? No. He says, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He pointed them to Acts 2. And William Branham comes and points them back to Acts 2 because the scripture in Malachi 4 fulfills prophecy. And he says, we'll be one focal point where these two are going to point to. I don't want to get into these subjects, friends. I study them for myself. I don't want to get, because you know what? It hurts me sometimes. I'll tell you why it hurts me. Because I can get into this for about 10 hours right now. But just remember, friends, we are at the end right now. The people are grasping anything you can grasp. Where is the Word? Where is the Scripture? They talk about the Word. They don't want the Word of the cross. You talk about the Holy Ghost. They mock the Pentecostals. And they say, have you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, the only thing, just don't worry. Don't worry. Just apply the token. What do you mean apply the token? You apply the token if you have the token. Am I right? If you are not saved, what token are you talking about? You don't even have the token. You are broke. So now in the last hour that we're looking, God sends a prophet, and that prophet cannot give you something new. He has to come back to the scriptures as it was declared by the servants, the prophets. And I go to the servants, the prophets, Malachi 4. And he says, he should be pointing you to one focal point, the same thing like John the Baptist. Amen. The Word fits together.
Amen. Amen.
I love the Word. So when you see that, somebody comes, you look at them, they're cross-eyed, they don't even know you. I got a code. Where are you going? Where are you going? Bring your code to the Scripture to know what we're talking about. What are you going to do with what I'm saying? We have been insulted all over. And they are mocking us, and we deserve it, because we make the mess. We should be able to stand with the Word of God, tell them, here it is, boys.
Amen.
You face it. Am I right?
Amen.
God of heaven, help us in this hour to be able to just grasp the truth of the Word of God. That, you know, I tell you what, if you turn somebody to the Pentecostal fathers and he is seeking it, you know what the next thing he's going to do? He's going to say, what's wrong with me that I don't get it? And the next step, he'll make one more step backwards. He says, have I been to Calvary? Or I accepted the message and I'm deprogrammed, or I'm an improved sinner under the name of the message. It's a beautiful thing, friends, today. You know, these meetings, I got my reward this morning. When I ask how many people are in the message and you haven't really experienced, you don't know where you stand about Calvary, and I saw all these hands. There are souls that are aiming for heaven. I believe that. There's something tells them that the last day's message, you have brought you to be crucified with Christ, be dead to the world and the things of the world, to mold you to the image of Pentecost.
Amen.
You know, it's easy for me to stand here and pick up a subject and bring a few Greek words and everybody claps. But I have rather, like I read in the book of Acts, take the reproach and face it with the Word of God. I have them in the States. What are these birds that can face me? Because the Word is true.
Amen.
Do you know that? You cannot mock with the Word of God and survive.
Amen.
It's not you do it or I do it. No, it's God says. And the only thing now we do, we start looking at the Word of God, and God says, now listen, it will be one focal point. He says, Lord, what is that focal point? All of a sudden, we start looking at the Word of God. And we start looking at what happened, the promise that was given to Zacharias about John the Baptist. And we see the first Elijah there. John the Baptist was ready to be born. The angel of the Lord appeared. He said, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, and shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. But never said the children to the fathers. You know why? Because John the Baptist was supposed to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And it stops right there. Perfection of the Word of God. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
God is real.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is real.
Amen.
And you young ladies and young men, he says, give me direction. It's only one direction, around to Calvary and Pentecost. Embrace. You know what means Pentecost? The spirit of the resurrected Jesus in you.
Amen.
A man said to me, you got this revelation? I said, no, I don't. He says, if that spirit, I says, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, will raise my mortal bodies.
Yeah.
How do you like that? Am I right?
Exactly.
It's a quick formula, isn't it? You know, sister and brother, that you don't understand what's going on, your head is spinning around, and then you don't know what side is up and down, just remember a simple verse. If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, you'll be with Jesus. Let them bark.
Sorry.
Am I right? Let them bark. I'm going to be with Jesus, and I don't care about anything else. What a beautiful gospel we have. I wish if I can spend time on 1 Kings 18 to show you Pentecost. To show you that this fire that fell from heaven and brought the burnt offering is consuming fire. And John the Baptist promised what? Holy Ghost and fire. The self is burned. And then go to Romans and see, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Burnt offering. Am I right? Nothing left in me, nothing left in you. It's time to close. But I hope you got something tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
I hope you can listen and read.
Amen.
Go through the message. Somebody says, I got it. What did you get? Praise God, I'm the man of the hour. The Holy Ghost is the man of the hour. Am I right? You point me to the Holy Ghost so I can talk with Jesus and leave me alone. I can go to my bedroom 2 o'clock in the morning and kneel down and He's there. I don't care where the guy is going to be, but I know Jesus is there. And I can raise my hand and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. You know, I get up at home very early in the morning, about 4 o'clock, 4:15. I do a little study, and then I go out and I walk for about... My sister said to me, you lost weight. Yeah, I did. I lost 25 pounds, and I keep on going. But, I was running, and I heard something behind me. It was a dog running with me. And I tried to chase the dog away, and I threw him some rocks or something. That dog wouldn't go back nowhere. He was running with me. So I just stopped and called him. And he's waiting for me in the morning to run with me, the dog. And I look at it. I says, praise God for that thing. Look at it. The world will kick me. He's licking me. I said, we saved. That's the question, you know. And I look at the poor thing coming around, you know, and moving his tail, coming around. So now I start feeding him. So he just hangs around more closer. You know, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, what a beautiful thing. And I was running. And I was saying, Jehovah Jireh. In the morning I was running. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh. That poor dog looked at me. Jehovah Jireh was where the dog was looking at me. But you know, I said, praise God for His creation.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes,
you know, we human beings, we are brutal. We try to kill each other, destroy each other. Broken hearts. Because we don't have an ounce of repentance to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Friends, I would like probably, the Lord's willing, tomorrow or Monday to get into the paraclete, the defender of the court of justice, and set up the stage. That Holy Ghost that you got, it's a promise. The King James says that the comforter, it's not a comforter. It's not somebody puts your arms and says, goody, goody, goody. No, no. It's Parakletos. Kles is a court case. Parakletos will stand by you in the court case. To know that Jesus Christ fills you with the Spirit, and that means has accepted your case. Do you know that? He's your attorney now. And that attorney that you see is the judge also, is the word also. You can't miss. Because if he says guilty, then I say you didn't redeem me right. The sacrifice was not accepted. I mean it because you sealed me. Beautiful to know the word of God. He said it like that. To stand before God right now. What else I want in life than to know that my sins are forgiven? That Spirit of Christ comes in me and convicts me. That Spirit of God tells me, listen, David Maurice, I'm standing for you. Repent. Go on with God. You know, the joy of repentance, people don't know it. I read some of the lives of the 16th century people. Guyon, Fenelon, Molinos. Then you go down to Andrew Mary, Penn Lewis, F.H. Hugill. All these people, then you won't think Calvary. Am I right? Dead to the world, the things of the world. You know, if you were dead to self, we'd love everybody. Go on with Jesus. We said too much tonight. I hope you got something from the Lord that you'll be able to see there. The Word of God is a perfect harmony. This little boy said to me, your time is up. He said, I just keep on looking at the little boy because you know what? We're little children. People said to me, Brother David, he said, I don't understand. If you see, I'm an enigma to many people. Yeah, I don't understand. He said, it's simplicity of the gospel. And I said, yeah, the simplicity of the gospel. Because that's how he saved me. And I learned that. My father was a missionary, but that day when I picked up the keys and I went to church, there was nobody there. I took a chair and I put it right on the hole, on the aisles. Here it is, and I knelt down and I raised my hand and says, if there's a God, I want to know it. And something happened to me that never left me since. Am I right? Because before I was religious, then I got saved. And my friends came over to whistle to me. And we didn't do really illegal things, but we were just kids. That's all, like you are. You know, breaking there sometimes, a bulb around the city or something, you know. Do all these good things. But Jesus saved me. And then I said, something happened to me. I don't understand. Here's my friends. I have nothing in common with them. Am I losing my mind? But when the Lord starts pulling you. I took a lot of pulling. I took a lot of kicking, friends. In my life, I took a lot of kicking. You know, I had nothing to do with the ministry. And if you ask me right now why you are in the ministry, the only thing I answer them, I know God called me, I'll tell them I'm crazy. That's all I can say to them. I was in the academic world, moving there. Had nothing to do with it. You know, I enjoy my life at the university. Teaching there 9 hours a week, full-time faculty, summer's free, Christmas 1 month, Easter another week. Man, it's gravy. And students, if you don't like them, give them a D that don't show up next semester. Instead of sticking with a bunch of people hammering you all the time, you have it made. But you know, when God pulls you, you're a slave. You don't have a choice. You deal with souls. Eternity. I remember one of my students, 61 years old, Virginia White. I was in a convention to speak for the American Society of Information Science. And I looked down the hall at the big hotel, and here's a wheelchair coming. And I look, and I was her advisor when she was finishing her master's degree. And I look her, she was paralyzed like that. She said, David. I said, Virginia, is that you? She said, yes, I'm okay. A voice spoke to me. She says, that's what you work for, vanity. You better get to work for souls. Am I right? Vanity. That's what you work for. Give them a degree to go and get a job, to have a bigger knife to cut somebody's throat. That's all that is. But it's a beautiful thing when you see a soul crossing the river and you shake their hand. You say, I'll see you on the other side. Am I right? That's all to me. All of us are going to come to our end, friends. But I'm so thankful to Jesus that He forgives us. We make many mistakes. I make more than you did. I believe that. Many, many mistakes, you know. I just run from God. But the Lord gave me a good wife. I give you that credit. You know, she stick by me. You know, work, Brother Searle knows. Put me through graduate college, work for a man, and then postgraduate work, typing one ribbon a day in the selected typewriter. One ribbon a day, finishing MA projects and PhD projects. She never complained. But she makes her tapes, hops on the books, stands by. Not because she's my wife, that's the one I'm going to find on the other side. Then nobody knows anything about it. The lady with her intestines hiding here, transcribing books and proofreading, punctuating. You know, for the kingdom of God. A man said to me, I have nothing to do, he said to me. I want to be busy with the Lord. I said to him, where were you in a prayer time to pray for your son that needs salvation? You know, we go to works, instead of going to Jesus. I love everybody. If I said something offensive, look at our scripture. I'm not here to argue, friends. We're crossing eternity together. I believe we're at the end. I said to my wife, if I don't see you back, I'll be up there waiting for you. That's what I said to her. It's not time to fuss. I'm not here. But I'm not falling in the ditch either. You know? I love the Lord. God bless you, Brother Searle. Hope you got something. Right. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are ignorant. We don't know how to pray. Prayer, Lord Jesus, is acknowledgement that you are everything. You know what we're going to say before the foundation of the world. But Lord, we bow our heads and telling you, Lord, that you are the great God. God of heaven, pour my soul this afternoon because I love you. I could have gone to commercial sermon, but Lord Jesus, I might help somebody more like that. Souls that don't know you, they don't know what to do. To them is strange. God of heaven, be with them, Lord. Show them the path. Bless each one of the people here. Lord God, give them abundantly, Lord, your presence. Make yourself known to them. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins and failures. Lord, help me to stay by the cross. Help me, Lord, to proclaim the word of the cross. Be with the pastor, Brother Searle here, the people, the visitors. We need all of you, God, all of us. Be with us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.